May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 63. There's not a sparrow nor a worm, but found in God's decrees. He raises monarchs to their thrones and seats them if he please. Hymn number 63.
Sacred and holy word of God, we shall read two portions of Holy Scripture. First of all, the book of Genesis, chapter 22. We shall read the first 19 verses. Then we shall read Isaiah 53. Genesis, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, an offering there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, and neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, that because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. We now turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. For we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. As far we read in God's holy and infallible word, may he bless it to our souls and teach us to pray. O thou great, eternal, ever-blessed God, who fillest time and eternity with thy presence, there is nowhere thou art not, smiling in heaven, frowning in hell, on the face of this earth, as we already sung this morning, even a sparrow or a worm is noticed and beheld by thee. And thus, Lord, we know as we've gathered this morning hour in thy courts, the eye of the Lord is upon us. And we do pray that we may be conscious of it, that it might solemnize our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we may remember we're not in the presence of each other, but primarily in thy presence. Thus it will be our mercy to lose sight one of another and see no man save Jesus only. And that would indeed be a rich privilege if that were to be so this day, for it would be a foretaste of that blessed day that awaits thy children, when their eyes shall see the King in his beauty, and behold the land that is very far off. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that such a day may come for us each, that thou wouldst so order our steps in providence, but especially in grace, so that when our little life is done, our soul may indeed depart to be with Christ, which is far better. And do grant, O Lord, that work for eternity may be done today, in the sowing of the seed of thy word, that in due season it may be seen even today, one and another were under thy preparing hand, as thy servant John the Baptist was said concerning his ministry, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Oh, what a privilege to be among those prepared for the Lord. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And Lord, we cannot put ourselves among the children. By nature we are children of wrath, even as others. We are natural fallen creatures and sinners by nature and birth and practice. If we are to be numbered among thy children, it needs a sovereign, effectual work of the Holy Ghost to enter our hearts with the new birth, to give us a nature fit for heaven, which we do not possess by nature. And we do pray, Lord, that it may be evidenced this morning hour. There are many here, young and old, in whom thou hast already begun that good work. And if this could please it to be the spiritual birthday of one hitherto dead in trespasses and in sins, it would be a great mercy. It would be an immense, miraculous privilege to be able to look back to this place and this day and say, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl was born here, born there, born at that time. Come, gracious Spirit, then, we pray, and breathe upon us a gale of grace. We come before thee, that thrice holy God that thou art. We will be looking to the sinner's substitute, the dear Redeemer, oh, that precious Jesus. Oh, may we be among those who esteem him. Lord, we read in thy holy word, the prophet confessed we esteemed him not. But when he saw his griefs and his sorrows laid on the dear Lamb of God, then he said, we did esteem him. And that, Lord, is where we would be today. We would see our guilt and our burdens laid on the dear Lamb of God, and we would esteem him. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his will esteem. For if we esteem him, Lord, we will esteem his will. How far short we come, but come, blessed Spirit, shed abroad the Saviour's love in our heart, then we will esteem his will and walk in his ways. Do forgive all that thy pure, holy eyes see wrong in us, thought and word and deed. View us, most gracious God, in the person and work of thy dear Son. May his obedience and blood answer for us this day in the highest court of heaven. Do, Lord Jesus, take up our cause before thy Father. And do, most gracious Spirit, take up God's cause in our heart. Plead for God within, for our wretched heart is strong and Satan is busy. We need overcoming grace within as well as without. To this end, then, do bless the holy, inerrant, infallible word we've been reading. Open our eyes, you may behold wondrous things out of it. And may our hearts be fed with the bread of life this day, of which we read, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Do bless each one gathered before thee, the dear children and babes and young people. How privileged this little company is to have so many younger ones. Lord, there are many causes of truth where there are not these young ones to be found. We pray for those causes of truth. We pray that young ones may yet be brought in under the sound of the truth there. But bless this rising generation, and may the seed sown in this house of prayer, in the Sabbath school, and in their homes bear in due season a copious and abundant fruit to the honour and glory of thy name. But when our days are done and our own generation is gone, may there still be the same love for the truth here, and people raised up yet to serve thee within these walls. We do pray thy rich blessing and favour upon those who bear the burdens of life. The young ones have burdens in study and relationships, but all as we go on, the burdens grow greater, heavier, more awkward, more difficult, and we feel less able to bear them and less understanding of what is needed. So, Lord, we become more and more, or we ought to become more and more dependent upon thee. Thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. Teach us how to walk in that way, Lord, and prove it to be our wisdom and our strength, our help in every need. And those dear friends and those of us coming now into the evening time of life and some well on into it, what a reminder, O Lord, of how swift the passage of time is, and how we have to acknowledge swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories flee away. Oh, for that lasting treasure that only thy people know. Oh, that we might be seeking that better country, that better hope, that better offering that has been made for sinners in the precious Jesus. And do grant we may live as pilgrims here below, having to pass through it but not abiding in it in its spirit, but all being brought out from it, we pray. And do in thy tender mercy this Sabbath morning so bless the worship of God here, that the needy may be fed, that those who've come with a burden may have that burden met. And any, Lord, who've come seeking divine direction, or that they might receive it clearly, hearing a word behind them saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, or when ye turn to the left." We do turn, Lord, and we need turning back. Hold up our goings in thy paths, that our footsteps slip not. Bless the church of God here that thou hast planted, the deacons, the members, the living and the congregation. Bless them each. May they be a growing people in grace and in numbers. And bless them with a godly, gracious increase, we pray. Bless our own little flock gathering today, and thy dear servant labouring among them. May be the Lord's messenger, the Lord's message, a true mouthpiece of Almighty God to one and another. And bless all thy labouring servants. Bless all who are standing in thy holy name at this time, at home and abroad. And grant that there might be a good day for thy dear children throughout this world. Bless our beloved land. Lord, these are dark and solemn days. Truly thou hast left our leaders to confusion and impotence. We are the scorn of many. But Lord, remember the cries of thy remnant, those who desire to fear thy name, who long for better days. May their cry be heard. May their prayers be answered. And may, O Lord, there be that that will yet appear that thou hast a purpose for good for our unworthy nation in these terrible times. We thank thee for every answered prayer there is, even yet, in these dark days. Every evidence thou dost hear the cries of thy dear children. Lord, go on to be gracious. But oh, now do shine into our hearts, Lord, with the same, even more warmth than we feel from the sun this morning. We thank thee for the sunshine, the beauties of it, the autumn colours. Oh, they tell on every hand there is a God. 'Tis his handiwork. But, oh Lord, what is all that, unless that prayer of the hymn is heard? Visit then this soul of mine. Pierce the gloom of sin and grief. Fill me, radiancy divine. Scatter all mine unbelief. More and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come to the preacher and to the hearer this day. Let us not labour in vain nor spend our strength for naught. At the close of the day, when we reach our homes, either far or near, may we look back with humble gratitude and say, "The Lord has been with us." Remember all in affliction, bereavement, sorrow, temptation, trial, fiery trials, deep waters, dark paths. Remember them for good. And do, O Lord, in thy tender mercy, Be with those of our own in affliction, laying thy healing hand upon them, and recovering and restoring them, we pray. Now be with us. Rend the heavens and come down. Make the mountains flow down at thy presence. We ask, unworthy of the least of thy mercies, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 4. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. Hymn number 4.
seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention. I'll direct your thoughts this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and we shall read the last clause in verse 8. So they went, both of them together. So they went, both of them together. And dear friends, there were three in the company. There was godly Abraham, the father of the faithful. There was his dearly beloved son Isaac. And there was their God. Were that not so, the events of the chapter could not have unfolded as they did. It was a threefold cord that was not easily, could not be broken, though it was put under severe test at God's command. So they, these two, and God uniting them together, went on. Let us look at the circumstances for a moment. When God created the world in which you and I are living, he could, had it been for his honour and glory and for our good, have created it a perfect sphere, with no mountains, no valleys, no plains. But we know the necessity for mountains and valleys, that there should be rivers flowing down to the ocean, which are all needed in their place. And so, child of God, you might have wished God had made your life a perfect sphere without any mountains and valleys to it. But I tell you, those mountains and those valleys are essential. And God has said of them, for his dear people, I will make all my mountains a way. Whose mountains are they? God's. And God makes them a way. And Abraham had a literal mountain to climb, but he had a far greater mountain in his heart to climb, to walk up that mountain, knowing at the top he got to lay Isaac on the altar, take a knife to his bosom, and if it went to its full end, even offering him up as a burnt offering. However, he even left home, let alone climb the mountain, you might ask. But God was with him. And that was the test. And the way we take cannot be wrong if, is a very big if, friends, not to be assumed, not to be presumed upon, if Jesus be but there. And if he is in the beginning of a path, he is in the outworking of it and the conclusion of it. It was God who gave the command. It was God who ordained the time and the place and the means. It was God who ordained the strength that Abraham and Isaac needed to walk this very troubling path. It was God who had the glory at the end of it, though he gave a most precious approbation to the faith he had given to his son in the faith Abraham, yes, and Isaac was included too. So they went, both of them, together, a unity created by God for God's honour and glory. And we read in one of the prophecies, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Abraham had to agree with the grievous command laid upon him. Isaac had to agree to go with Abraham and even submit at the top of the mountain to be laid on the altar. Oh, what agreement was needed. How, though, can two walk together except they be agreed. But the one thing that kept Abraham and Isaac together was this. They kept their eye fixed on their God. And that's what will keep you together, dear friends. Lose sight of that. We're all sixes and sevens all over the place. I speak for myself. When we're enabled to look only to the Lord Jesus Christ, let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and thy way shall be established. So they went, both of them, together. Let us consider for a moment a godly Abraham. He'd just been through a very grievous trouble. He had had to banish Ishmael from his home. We know the circumstance in which Ishmael came into the home in the first place. Abraham and Sarah not willing to wait God's time. My dear friends, God's time is always right. But we know what happened. Ishmael was born and it brought nothing but trouble into the tent. And when Isaac was born eventually at God's time and command, there was strife between Isaac, Ishmael in particular was the leader of it would seem, against Isaac. Paul takes that up in the Romans, the flesh persecuting the spirit. And then the command came, cast out the bondwoman and her son. And the thing was grievous in the eyes of Abraham. He loved Ishmael in the flesh. He was his son. And it was grievous to him to have to turn him out into the wild wilderness with his mother seemingly to be a prey and to perish. God watched over them as they went in a very remarkable way. But it left a very large gap and it was a trouble to Abraham. But perhaps he thought, there'll be no more trouble now. I'm through this trouble. Jew has left a scar, it's left a mark, it's left a wound, but that will heal perhaps no doubt in time. And now my life will be smooth and no more mountains. Good John Bunyan said, no sooner is one trouble o'er, another doth him seize. Or as my late dear friend Mr. J. O. Pack once said to me, you know, he said with me, he said, they seem to seize him before the other trouble's finished. And so it is with God's dear people so often. Friends, you keep thinking round the next corner, it'll be trouble-free. It will not be. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. The great point I told you yesterday, that it be sanctified trouble. That God would make it for good. Ye meant it for evil, said Joseph concerning his brethren, but God meant it for good. And this mountain that came into Abraham's life, God meant it for good. And oh, is there one here this Sabbath morning? Two perhaps, together. And there's a mountain before you. Oh, well, how are you going to climb it? How are you going to get to the top of it? Lord, it seems impossible. One step at a time. You're not called to leap from the bottom to the top in one bound. It's one step at a time. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. One step at a time. We sometimes look too far ahead. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thy shoe shall be iron and brass, and as thy day, as each day comes, each step comes, so shall thy strength be. Well, this mountain suddenly, unexpectedly came. The mountains before had come through Abraham's, sad behaviour over Hagar. But this trouble, this new trouble, came direct from the hand of God. Take now. No time for prevarication. This is the hour of it, Abraham. Now. Take now thy son. Yes, the one left, thine only son, Ishmael's gone. I sent him away. Now take the one that's left. The one whom thou lovest. Your heart's bound up in him. Three ways he was bound up in Isaac. One was he was his son. His own flesh and blood. Two, I believe there was a bond. Already it would seem that Isaac had grace, or else how could he have behaved as he did on Mount Moriah? And thirdly, Isaac was well taught. He knew that without the shedding of blood, there was to be no remission of sin. And no doubt Isaac had been told by Abraham that eventually in the generation to come, in succeeding generations, the dear Redeemer would come. Isaac was the one who was looking for these things. So there was a bond, a very precious bond, more than natural affection, between these two. But take now thy son. And the first test was, Abraham, whom do you love the most? Is it your son or is it me? Is it your comfort in your home or the honour and glory of God? What comes first? And we marvel at the grace that dear Abraham showed. If ever there was a man walking in the Spirit, it was Abraham walking up Mount Moriah. God was first. Them that honour me, I will honour. But those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Friends, tremble to be lightly esteemed by God. Reprobate silver, dross, chaff, the goats in the day of judgment, lightly esteemed. And why are they lightly esteemed? Because, dear friend, there was no esteem found for God and Christ and his word in their hearts. None of us have it by nature. That is certainly true. If it's there, dear friends, bless God for it. He's put it there. But is it there? That's the question. What think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless ye think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you. And mercy or wrath are your lot. Friends, how is God disposed toward you this Sabbath morning? What evidence have you in your heart and in your life? What place does he take? First? Second, perhaps? Or third? Out of the business and the family and various other things, a little time left for Christ later on. Friends, he'll either be all in all or nothing. And he put Abraham to this test. Abraham, whom do you love most? And the dear man, oh, moved by grace and faith, contrary to all that was of the nature in him, put God first. So they went both of them together. And I know not, there may be one or more here perhaps this Sabbath morning, and there is that before them. And this is the great test. Will God be first in it or not? And there's a great struggling on your heart because the flesh pleads. And it's strong, and nature is strong, and carnal reason is strong, and the natural man is strong. And when we listen and heed those things, we're often turned aside. But oh, friends, I'll tell you there's one thing that will put it right. Listen, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, poor, trembling, troubled child of God this Sabbath morning, wondering what you should be doing. Pray earnestly that the love of God in Christ Jesus be shed abroad in your heart. That removes all the obstacles, all the hinges, all the mountains flow down when that precious love is enjoyed in the heart. Then iron bars and brazen gates yield. Then stubborn wills are brought into sweet subjection. Then we sit at Jesus' feet and know no will but his. But we'll be honest, we're rarely there. the preacher speaks as well as those in the pew. When were you last at Jesus' feet in such a way? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. So Abraham was told to leave home with his son Isaac and to go to this land of Moriah, to a mountain that God would tell him of and speak to him on his journey about. And at the top of that mountain, he was to offer Isaac up as a burnt offering. The very fact he left his home, dear friend, was an act of God-given faith. And so he leaves, saddles his ass, takes two young men with him, Isaac his son, cleaves the wood for the burnt offering, rises up and goes to the place of which God had told him. It's a long journey, 3 days. On the third day, at last, on the horizon, he sees a range of hills, a mountain. That's the mountain, that's the place where you are to offer up your son, Isaac. How would you have felt, dear friend, if you'd come into view of that place that God had appointed to lay your son on the altar, an offering up for a burnt offering? How would you have viewed it? Well, the dear man went to the top of the bottom of the mountain, didn't he? Told the two young men to watch over the ass, and with living faith, God-given faith, he said, I and my son will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And we are told in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans and the Hebrews that such was the faith of Abraham that had the knife been plunged into Isaac's bosom, had the fire done its work, they would both have come down the mount still. What faith? What strength of faith? If ever a man had faith by God's grace, Abraham did on this occasion. So they went and began to ascend the mount. Isaac, a young man, probably about 17, late teenager, probably something of that age, and his father Abraham, now well on in years, no doubt can't walk as quick as Isaac. But they went together, the old and the young walking in this path, God helping them up every step. Isaac was bearing a burden, the wood, a heavy burden. And you know, if you climb a mountain, you want to be as free of burdens as possible. Perhaps you've told the Lord that this morning. Lord, it would be much easier to climb this mountain. If I've got my guilt and my sins besetting me, this wretched temptation assailing me, this awkward problem that's besetting my poor mind, it will be much easier to climb it. Who's appointed them the wood? God has. God has. Remember that. And he'll never lay on you a greater burden. He gives you grace to bear. Remember that. But halfway up the mountain, they came to a dead halt. And what was the reason? Isaac had a question. And dear friends, it was a very vital question. They had wood to burn. They had fire to set the wood alight. But there was no offering. Not apparently. There was no sacrifice. What was to be done? Isaac knew that from the beginning of the world God had said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, nor is there. Still is not. Blessed be God, the blood that cleanses from sin has been shed now by the dear Redeemer. Bless his holy name for it. But it's still true, without the shedding of blood in your heart and conscience, there's no remission of sin. Our denominational name, our chapel going, our regularity at the house of God, our reputation among others, all that, my dear friends, is of no account whatsoever in this great matter. Sin to pardon without blood never in God's nature stood, Young children, remember that as well as old. The lies you tell, the unkindness you show, the bitterness in your spirit can only be cleansed by the blood of Christ. You older ones, drawn aside by the spirit of the world sometimes in your daily duties, you find you no different to those around you, and your poor conscience is, oh, guilty, guilty. Who can cleanse it? Nothing but the blood of Christ. You dear older ones, the old outer man decaying, and how impatient you get sometimes and frustrated at the hindrances with it, and sometimes rebellion. If only it were different, if only the burden were less. Our poor peevish heart. Oh, friends, what can cleanse our polluted consciences? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but that precious fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And Isaac knew it by faith. Father, there must be a sacrifice. There must be an offering. Where is it? What a poignant question. However could Abraham answer it? Already he was walking in that path we mentioned yesterday afternoon. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Ishmael's gone. Now it seems Isaac's got to go. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Friends, when he removes all the props, then still trust. That's a lovely hymn. We don't often sing it. It goes in a very high note, but the good hymn writer was in a good place when he sung it. Or when he penned it, we should say. But you know, what did he say in hymn 96? Though waves and storms go o'er my head, though strength and health and friends be gone, though joys be withered all and dead, and every comfort be withdrawn, steadfast on this my soul relies, redeeming mercy never dies. Yet will I trust in him. Oh, what a mercy to be able so to do. And Abraham did. And the Lord Jesus Christ, addressing his disciples in his own earthly ministry, said on one occasion, in that hour it shall be given thee what to say. And I would think, dear friends, an inward prayer went up in Abraham's heart to his God. How shall I answer my son Isaac? My son. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. In other words, Isaac, the Lord will provide. And so they went on, both of them, together. And here you are, maybe one here this morning, you come to a dead halt. Lord, how can I go on? I can't even take another step in this way. Here is the Lord's answer to you this Sabbath morning. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. God will provide what is needed, when it is needed, where it is needed. He will give strength. He will give wisdom. He will give grace. He will give submission. He will give patience. He will give all that you need, step by step. And above all, everything else, for his dear people, he's given a lamb for the burnt offering. We come to that in a moment. So, with this blessed answer of a good conscience within, they went on, believing God would provide. They didn't yet know how. Abraham not yet seen the ram caught in the thicket. But he went on believing the Lord would provide. You may say, well, I will venture if the Lord would tell me what he's going to do. Is that faith? And is the Lord bound to tell you everything at once? Don't we walk by faith and not by sight when we're in a good place? Trust him, he will not deceive you, though you hardly of him deem. He will never leave you, nor will let you quite leave him. Friend, if he's put you in the path you are walking, do you think he doesn't know what you need? Do you think he's unaware of the troubles that have arisen, the doubts and the fears that seem to beset you? Do you think he doesn't know what you need on the top of the mountain? He himself knew what he would do. And Abraham believed that. My son, God will provide himself a ram a lamb for the burnt offering. So, on this blessed principle, the Lord will provide. The Lord will make a way. The Lord will open a door where there seems to be no way. They went on, both of them, together. And this, you see, this question could have divided them. Had Isaac been left to his own spirit and began perhaps to perceive what might be taking place, naturally speaking, he might have begun to resist, left to himself, and go back down the mountain. But no, God had united him to his father Abraham in this. There's no armour for the back. Remember that, dear friend, those who may be tempted to go back this Sabbath morning. There's no armour for the back. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on, Lord, further up this mountain. Yes, step by step. For in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There you'll see the Lord's goodness and mercy. There you'll see the answer of a good conscience. There you'll see his hand open to provide for you. Yes, so they went on, both of them, together. Now, we often speak of the faith of Abraham, and it was a tremendous faith. I've told you that already, but what about the faith of Isaac? He was a strong lad. You know, a teenager, 17 years, shall we say, as very strong. Stronger than his parent, naturally speaking, by then probably. He could easily have resisted Father Abraham if he wanted to and run back down the mountain. Resisted being bound and laid on the altar. But no, he submits. I pause here a moment. I don't think many of us realise what a wonderful grace submission is. It's a wonderful grace submission. We have it in Song of Solomon. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Submission, sat down, contentment. Thy will, not mine. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Have you ever done that? Remember the late Mr. John Warder of blessed memory, preaching at Chippenham one Thanksgiving service many years ago now. And his text was, I sat down under his shadow. And he said, his first sentence was this, faith is never at its strongest, never stronger, he said, than when it is sitting still. My heart went with him from that very first sentence. I knew what he meant. Oh, the strength of faith when we can, by God's grace, be still, though everything seems wrong. Sit still when there seems to be no way out. To stand still, even when the enemy is coming against us. Oh, what grace is needed. Oh, we're ready to flee, aren't we? Stand still. Sit still. Be still. He that believeth shall not make haste. Some years ago in the local school, Sheldon, at Chippenham, there was a very good headmistress. And she was a very courageous woman as well. And there was a very recalcitrant boy. And he had been expelled because of his bad behaviour. And he came back onto the playground in a motorbike doing wheelies, or what they call it. And he was causing great havoc among the children, running this way and that way. And the headmistress went right out into the middle of it, and she stood there, and he came right at her. She didn't flinch. He did a wheelie right in front, almost to mow her down. She stood still. And she gained the respect of the whole school that day. But I thought, my dear friend, you know, when the enemy comes at us like that, do we stand still? Do we sit still? We're ready to flee, aren't we? Shall such a man as I flee, said Nehemiah? No, dear friend, if God is your God, may he help you stand still, sit still, be still. Because there's a blessing awaiting you at the top of the mountain yet. So Isaac submitted. Bound by his loving father. Laid on the altar. And the knife taken in Abraham's hand, ready to stretch out. He was ready, yes he was ready, to do as God had bid him. And Oh, the wonder of it. At the 11th hour, at the 59th minute of the hour, shall we say the 60th second of the last minute, the voice from heaven, stay now thy hand. Yes. But just remember, dear friends, when the dear Lamb of God, of whom we read in Isaiah 53, lay on the altar at Calvary, there was no voice from heaven saying, stay now thy hand. No. The sword of divine justice, the knife of divine wrath, plunged into his holy heart and bosom, there to pay the price of the sins of his dear people. And the wonderful thing about Mount Moriah is this. God was willing to accept a substitute for Isaac. And friends, if God had not been willing to accept a substitute for poor sinners, there'd be no gospel to preach, and hell would be our portion. But the substitute must be worthy. He must be able to meet all the demands of God's holy justice. Where are we to find one like that? Well, you know, on when Abraham turned and saw the ram, he was caught in the thicket by its horns. So why by its horns? Why not by its fleece? Had it been by its fleece, the fleece would have been torn. And they were not to offer a beast that had been torn or wounded in that way. Having been caught by its horns, it was not in any way marred. And so in that sense, it was a suitable provision. And friends, whether it be in providence or in grace, God always makes a suitable provision. He gives the best to his dear people. He makes no mistakes. Well, if only you could remember that the set morning hour, though you are distrusting him so much and wondering why this mountain has come, God hasn't made a mistake. And God will make a provision for you as you ascend this mountain. At the top of it, you will say with godly Abraham, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's provided for a poor sinner like me. He's heard my cry. He's heard my prayer. He's come to my aid. I can set my own Ebenezer. Yes. Oh, how thankful though we should be. God was willing to accept a substitute for Isaac. And poor guilty, wretched sinner this Sabbath morning, who's groaning under the holy law of God, groaning under the sense of sin and iniquity in your fallen nature, groaning in this dying world, there is a substitute God is willing to accept for the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need. And that substitute is his own dear son. In guilt's dark dungeon where we lay, justice cried, slay, but mercy spare. Jesus answered, set them free. Pardon them, but punish me. Oh, friends, how thankful we should be for a substitute. But then, remember something else. In the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, I believe it is chapter 9 in the second epistle, read these words. There hath no temptation taken you, that's no trial, but such as is common to man, that is, it is the common lot of God's dear people to be tried and tested in the way. But God is faithful, listen, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tried, tested, above that you are able, above that he gives you strength for, but will with that trial, with that fire, with that deep water, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He made a way for escape for Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah. That's what it teaches us. And there may be one here this Sabbath morning needing a way to escape. You can't see it. Every door is shut. But there's one door open, I'll tell you, mercy's door. Knock at it. And the Lord knows a way out when we cannot see one. Israel were hemmed in at the Red Sea, but the Lord made a way. And here we have in this chapter again. There seemed to be no way the knife could escape Isaac's bosom or even the fire. But the Lord made a way. A substitute was found. Never ever limit the ability of the Lord to make a way where there seems to be no way. Good John Newton said, When the Lord's people have need, his goodness will find out a way. But friends, you have the need first. Blessings don't come trivially, lightly. It's the need first, and then the answer to it. When the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. But you have to come into that path. Poor, needy, seeking water, and there is none. Your tongue failing for thirst. Nothing but sheer mercy will reach your case. That's when the Lord appears and makes a way to escape. So Isaac is released from his bonds. He sees how thankful he must have been to see the knife plunged into the bosom of that ram. Oh, the very knife that would have been in his bosom, but for the ram. And child of God, look on the wounds of the dear Saviour. Hands and feet and side, see the marks of the nails and the spear. That would have been your lot eternally, were it not for the substitute, for poor sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life a ransom for many, a number that no man could number, out of every kindred, nation, tribe and tongue. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid him the iniquity of us all. That's all his dear sheep. What a burden. Isaac no doubt felt it a burden carrying that wood up Mount Moriah. But dear friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, as it were, he began to ascend the mount that would end at Calvary. And on his holy, harmless, undefiled back lay the sins of his church. What a burden. Were your sins there? Were my sins there? What a question. If they were not there, dear friends, then we must bear their punishment to all eternity, in the place where neither hope nor mercy will ever come, and no gospel ever preached, and no way of escape ever made. These are vital things. We need a substitute. Are you seeking one this morning? Are you asking God for a way of escape from a deserved hell? Oh, this is a great question. But oh, how thankful Isaac must have been, and how thankful the child of God is when they get their first glimpse of Jesus in the sinner's place. And they're raised up to a good hope to see that after all their felt despair and guilt, all their hell-deserving ways, love, sheer love has provided a substitute. After this, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own grace and mercy, says good Paul writing to Titus. So they went, both of them, together. Though they had the obstacles, the hindrances, the unity wasn't broken. The cord wasn't severed. You may this morning hour be greatly tried about that. Lord, it seems as if the band's going to break. The bond is going to snap. It won't. Not if God has bound you together. If you are bound to him in the bundle of life, dear friend, hell itself cannot loose that bond. Oh, rest doubting saint assured of this. God hath pledged his holiness. So they went on. Both of them together. The very thing that seemed impossible, they were enabled to do. And they come back down the mount. And oh, Isaac never forgot. He could never forget, I'm sure, this memorable day. To the end of his days. Look back in thankfulness for the ram caught in the thicket. And though it was a grievous mountain to climb, though it was hard labour to his poor flesh, yet he and Abraham proved God is faithful. That's a lovely word. I close with it in John chapter 10, verse 4. The great chapter on the sheep. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. In other words, he'll never call you to take any step that he's not been there before first. And I close with that. Dread no ills that may befall you, while by his grace you make his ways your choice. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £685, and the collections yesterday for the Oakington Chapel Building Fund, £2,017, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will address the Sunday School this afternoon, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. Hymn 119.
mantle of thy forgiving love, O Lord, all that thy pure, holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship this Sabbath morning. Be with us during the hours of this thy day, and may we know something of that unity with God in Christ Jesus that holds us on our way and leaves us not to make shipwreck of faith. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Holy Spirit's favour rest and abide with us each, both now, forevermore. Amen.